And it's a very, very good morning to Jeff Henry Lawson. How are you, Henry?
Morning, James. Morning, Phil. Yeah, I'm not too bad.
Good. I might kick off with that very question we were just talking about, the hysteria. Well, the reaction to the Test series loss to India. Is it hysteria or is it fair?
Oh, it's probably neither of those things, I would have thought. Certainly hysteria in India might be called for, because they've had a record-breaking victory, and they tend to get a bit of hysterical over their cricket. So, yeah, that's probably a normal reaction in that part of the world. It certainly shouldn't be just because we've lost a Test cricket series in this country. That's a nonsense. That's people not understanding what the value of sport is. But I guess we get... I mean, the word fan does mean fanatical. That's what it's short for. So I guess followers of any sport can get a bit hysterical on occasion. But, yeah, I mean, that's not what's required on this occasion.
All right, what is required then?
Oh, look, I think it's obviously some examination of who's been selected for Australia. You know, the selectors, which include the coach, need some
yes.
quite close examination because judging on the reaction of the people around the states in cricket, I don't talk about the people who are involved in state programs, that sharp end of the cricket ship, that you know, that they've been quite disappointed in what's been happening with selections. They don't believe the best side was put on the field.
Right.
And so that would have been a start, I would think. I mean, I was really disappointed. I was watching a bit the other day, and you know, there's a couple of commentators on. There are a thousand of them these days, but there was a couple of guys who, you know, were pretty well respected in the cricket world. And they were discussing that Manus Labuschagne's 38 made him a prospective number three for Australia. And I was thinking, what an absolute load of nonsense. I mean, this was an absolute featherbed wicket. Yeah, I mean, he got 30. I mean, obviously the bar's come down a long way for good performance for the Australian cricket team. And he got out to a three-card trick of changing the field, and they bowled a couple of in-swingers to him straight at the fieldsman. I mean, you know, it was pretty poor stuff. But these two guys thought 38 was a sure sign that this guy could bat number three for Australia. If that's where we've got to, we have got some serious problems and errors in judgment going on.
Yeah, Mitchell Starc, you're in a very good position to comment on this, Henry. The criticism, he, four Test series, 13 wickets at 34.53. Is a criticism warranted, unfair? Should he keep his spot? Should he be banished?
Well, once again, you need some objective view of how Mitchell's bowled. What those figures aren't too bad. You know, average in the low 30s. That's not bad in Test cricket. You've got to look at the pitches Australia bowled on. You know, they got the worst end of the toss in the last two Test matches, and that did cost them because they were two great batting wickets for India to be on. I mean really flat, slow, unhelpful batting wickets. And so, of course, the bowlers' averages will go up. And, you know, Mitchell, I think he bowled reasonably, and he just had a couple of periods where it wasn't his best stuff. But that happens to everybody. But it certainly wasn't the kind of bowling where you'd be seeking some other bowler. Look, I think there's been some concerted attack on him, which is quite disturbing from a few cricket people.
Why does he attract that, Henry? Because, you know, Shane Warne has been vocal, has been previously, has been more vocal the longer this series went on. Interestingly, Mitchell Johnson, an ex-teammate, has come out and said, look, he needs to be rested from the two Tests against Sri Lanka, give someone else a go. Yes, he'll go to the Ashes series, but why does Mitchell attract that more than anyone else?
Yeah, it's, once again, good question. I mean, maybe it's because he's got... he's a great white ball bowler. They can't do without him in the 50-over game. Do people think he's playing too much cricket by playing Test cricket? Test cricket has never been really his number one form. I say, you know, white ball cricket, outstanding. Let's look back to the last World Cup where he was just irresistible. Bowled some unplayable stuff. But once again, I mean, you spread the figures out there, Jimmy. I mean, was it, you know, 13 wickets at 34. That's not horrible bowling by any stretch.
No, that's right. That's right.
And it was only Pat Cummins who's averaged slightly under 30, I think 27 or so, against a side that is and was the number one side in the world before they got here, has got terrific batting and got the best of nearly every pitch they bowl they played on when they batted.
Yeah.
And so you just got to get a bit of perspective about it. And if trying to criticise Mitchell Starc and even the bowls in general is just deflecting from the serious problem of Australian cricket, is we can't make enough runs. You know, we bowled them out for 300 and 250 in Adelaide and got beaten. I mean, that doesn't happen in Test cricket.
No.
Yeah, this deflection away from the batting woes, I find quite concerning, because there are better players out there in Test cricket. There are other players who should have been selected for this series, players who are in form, and yet we came up with that dog's breakfast of a batting lineup, particularly for the last Test match.
And you spoke about that last time. So the next question is two-part. Who is going to be in this series for Sri Lanka? Or who would be your 11 to start on the 24th of January in Brisbane? And the second part of it, are all runs in Sheffield Shield created equal? I was speaking to someone yesterday who suggested that, okay, if Matthew Wade is scoring runs, rather than score them at number 6, score them at number 3 or number 4 for Tasmania as opposed to number 6, because not all runs are created equal.
Oh, well, that's a theory we often use for our club cricket, isn't it? If you want to make the state side, don't make your runs at number 6 for East or Gordon or St George. I'm not sure if that works at first class level. If you make them anywhere to 1 to 6, you make them in the top order. That's what it's called, first class, for a reason. So I'm not going to quite go down that road. If someone's averaging 65 in a season, batting number 6, he's doing a pretty good job. The fact that he doesn't get selected, he didn't even come up in the discussions with some of these selectors. It is a nonsense.
Mm.
But he would certainly find, I think he should bat number 6 in the next Test match. And then, probably got, let's say Marcus Harris, he is the one fined of the summer.
Yes.
Like, he deserves to play Test cricket. He's occupied the crease for every innings, got a little bit unlucky with a couple of dismissals as well. And he does look like a Test cricketer. So, I'd probably have Harris and Joe Burns opening. And Joe Burns, another guy in form.
Yep.
I think he's averaging 47 this season.
Well, he was when they were playing Shield.
Well, yeah. Let's just put aside the bash.
Yes.
And the other thing, when people start comparing bash form for Test cricket, once again, I heard a former Test cricketer on one of these commentators say that bash form's quite good. It shows you whether you're seeing the ball or not. So we'll pick you for Test cricket. Oh, please. But yeah, I'd probably then have Usman at 3.
Yeah.
So you've got someone in form there. Look, I'm going to hang on to Peter Handscomb. I've just seen him make so many runs myself for Victoria. I just think he needs to get back to his own batting coach. I think he just got to get away from that Australian system. I don't think between their coaches, he's getting much from them.
So you're potting Graham Hick?
Well, the head coach is a batsman as well, so he'd have a say in it.
Sorry, you're potting Graham Hick and Justin Langer?
Well, yeah, that's their job. But our batsmen are failing in many forms, and these two guys don't seem to be in the spotlight for their coaching prowess.
Mm.
They don't quite get that, but I'd give Hanscom back to his Victorian coaches.
Who's that?
Well, he's got Andrew Bedolla as his state coach, and I think he does a lot of work with Greg Shippard, who's one of the outstanding coaches of Australia, who doesn't get enough credit for what he does. But I wouldn't have Hanscom talking to the national coaches. I'd get him back to the people who've made him successful.
So hang on, this is interesting. Jeff Lawson would pick Peter Hanscom for the test, but then not allow him to talk to the coaches.
No, that's not what I said. I said get his other state coaches to talk to him. They're not allowed at all. But getting back to the coaches that he feels work the best for him, and that's been at state level.
Right.
It hasn't been these two guys who he comes in and sees when there's a test match. I only have a couple of practice sessions.
Right.
You can't change batting technique at that level in a couple of sessions. It's got to be drilled into you about what you've got to do. I mean, cricket's a game where when you're batting, you don't have time to think. You've got to have the instincts drilled into you. You can't think and bat at the same time. You've got to see it and hit it. And you don't have time to be making small changes when you're out there in the middle. And maybe a few too many guys are doing that. But you've got to spend that time away from the actual game to sort your things out. And I mean, he's been very successful, Victoria, immensely successful. So let's get him back to the coaches he wants to spend time with. I think that's much more important.
Yeah.
Who else we got there?
Well, you're missing a number five. You've got Wade at six, Hanscom at four, Harris, Burns, Khawaja. Who bats five?
Five. I've got Curtis Patterson at five. Only because he's averaging 49 this year. And the last 3 years, he's averaged 45.
I thought it was 41 this year.
Not the stats I saw, mate. Can only go on the stats I looked up. It was 49.5, actually. I don't have it right in front of me, but I did look it up the other day.
Oh, I saw a newspaper article that said it was 41. But
I wish neither here nor paper there, that was in, you could probably not believe that.
Hang on. Is there anyone else you want to have a watch on it? Anyone else yet? Have you missed anyone this morning, Henry?
I've missed plenty. I'm trying to be constructive here, James. Only you courting controversy. I'm trying to be constructive.
Okay. All right.
But no, I'm serious about that. I looked at the stats up and I thought he had him at 49.5. But
Tom will tell us.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going
to... Is he ringing in? He can...
Yes, he'll text us.
Before we reload the gun, we've got to... we're getting the hurry up in our ear here, Henry. So thanks so much for your time this morning. We'll speak to you again soon.
And I had Wade at six.
We've got Wade at six. We've got Wade at six.
In.
Oh, I could have Cummins at six.
Not ridiculous. Not ridiculous.
No more bets.
Good on you, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
There he is. He's gone, Jeff Lawson. I tell you what, if you're part of Australian cricket there and you didn't get a spray from Jeff there, you'd be a bit disappointed. You missed out.